You might want to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 33. And in our study of Jeremiah, as we've been looking in chapter 33, and God is reminding afresh and again, as he does to Jeremiah and to the people, that God means what he says and says what he means, and God does what he does, and if he said it, he's going to do it. That's what you want to know, and that's what he's looking for: people to take God at his word and not debate or dialogue, just believe. Honor God for who he is and what he says. That's what he's looking for. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a payer in full of everyone that seeks him. Now, having said that, so having done that, and as we have been in chapter 33, and reminding ourselves, if I can, going down to verse 6, and he's saying, and you need that little bit reminded, chapter 33 and verse 3, the background for the chapter, the background. Go in verse 33, chapter 33, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will answer thee and show. The verb to show, to make visible, to make clear, to make it conspicuous so you can't miss it. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the wall. I'm going to show you the painting. I'm going to show you the light. I'm going to show you. Call unto me, verse 3, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty. And remember the word mighty, to cut off, to separate, and to make something inaccessible. I'm going to show you inaccessible things, mighty. And remember, we did that in looking at that, when we did that in Deuteronomy, etc., chapter 1, chapter 9. And God said the Israelites were facing the enemy, and the enemy, Philistines, etc., in the light of Israel's not having very much, the Canaanites and Hittites and Hivites, they had walled cities. And as far as Israel looking at them, the wall is so high, it says it, the wall, the fenced-in cities, the walls are as high as the heaven. In other words, God said, I know you're facing opponents that, as far as you're concerned, you can't get anywhere, and you aren't going to get anywhere. They overcome you. They're greater than you and more than you. And that's what, so they're up against the walled cities. In other words, you can't break through the wall. The wall can't climb over the wall. The wall is higher than the heavens. Inaccessible. That's your word. Inaccessible. You can't, it's beyond your capacity to understand. You can't get to it. You can't budge it. You can't get anywhere moving it to get to something. I'm going to show you great, make visible for you, great and mighty, inaccessible things that you could never, never understand. In verse 3, that you don't know. You don't know, and you'd never know because they're inaccessible, but I'm going to make them accessible. I'm going to make accessible to you that which is inaccessible. You'll never know it, but I'm going to do it. Now, as we've been doing that, now sliding down to verse 6. And in verse 6, behold, I will bring, God's telling you what he's doing, what he's going to do. He's been saying it, but no one's paying attention. Behold, I will bring in health. I will bring it, the city, that's the city of Jerusalem. The end of verse 5, I have hid my face from this city. Then you begin verse 6, behold, I will bring it, the city. I will bring it, the city, health and cure. That's what I'm going to do. And so in the process, and I will cure them. So just taking that without going much further at the moment, and I will bring health to them. And the word health has to do with having a wound, and the wound is going to be covered, healed with new skin. You got a wound, and what are you looking for? The skin's, you need new skin over the wound. That's the word, to put new skin over the wound. Healing. And the world, and in verse 6, and I will cure the word health. So, I in verse 6 again, behold, I will bring the city health. I'll do like a wound. It's going to be wounded by the devastation of Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city. But I'm going to give it a new cover, a new face, a new covering. And I will cure them, the people. I'll give them health. What's new about that? What's new? Extraordinary. Well, hang on, little exercise maybe. That's helpful to you, to me also. Now, so having said that, over to Jeremiah and chapter 8. Jeremiah and chapter 8. And you'll see our little word we're looking at. In Jeremiah chapter 8, picking up the context, verse 14. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities. Let us go to the right places in light of everything that's happening. In verse 14. And let us enter into the defense cities. And let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water, the water of gall, to drink bitter, because we have sinned against the Lord. And so looking, God, it's our problem, it's our fault. Verse 15, we looked for peace. Look for peace. No good came for a time of health, there's your word, a time of health. And behold, trouble. We were looking for things to get better. It didn't get better. Sliding down to verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health, there's your little word, what we looked at, a healing of the wound, new skin. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? How come they don't get any better? What's wrong? What's wrong? God said, I'm going to show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. It doesn't mean they couldn't have known, but they don't. They just don't know. So therefore, exercise in the light of that. Picking up, if I can, and you know when the Israelites exited from Egypt, and we remember we did a whole little series on this, on healing and that. And when I'm going back and coming forward to catch Jeremiah 33:6. And in the light of that, when Israel exited from Egypt, what do you remember? Probably, I don't know. Egypt was full of physicians and full of medicines. They were big time in it. But the Israelites had no doctor, and they had no pharmacist. They had no prescriptions. God sent them with no doctor and no way to get to aspirin. Where do I buy a bottle of aspirin? There isn't any. That's how God sent them. Now, exercise that. Over to Exodus chapter 15. And in Exodus chapter 15, picking up, if I may, and may I pick up as you come to the end of chapter 15. Chapter 15 may go to even verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when, this remember the bitter waters at Meribah, bitter waters that God had to show the people how to get through bitterness. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters of the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. In other words, is God going to take care of us? Here's bad water, no water. Is God going to take care of us? No physician, no medicines. Verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm going to keep you healthy. That's what I'm going to do. You're going to trust me, and we're going to work out everything in my perfect plan, and you'll be able to proceed down the corridor of time and be able to do all that I have in mind. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, picking up, let's go to verse 14. 7 and 14. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. No. So God, what are you going to do? God said, I'm going to take care. And if you're going to walk with me, you're going to find that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you like no one else. Why? Why are you going to do that? If you're trying to demonstrate God, and God was, God's going to have to take the people of Israel and do a wonderful thing with that people so that all the people of the world can look. And they all see each other. They all know what each other looks like and what their God's little g does. But when they look at Israel, it's distinctly different than all the religions and all the philosophy and all everything. It's distinctly, wonderfully different. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so that when they see And God's going to be very, 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 very special. And in, like in verse 15 again, I'll read that part. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all that hate thee. So Israel is going to have a wonderful exercise, if they will take it, a wonderful exercise of God's care. They've been in Egypt 430 years. So now they're going to be 40 years ends up, 40 years in the wilderness. So they got 40 years to discover. How good does God, we already lived in Egypt. We already know what that is. We know what it is. Now we're 40 years in the wilderness. Our shoes don't wear out. Our teeth don't need, we don't need a dentist. What is it? What is it? And for 40 years, they had a wonderful, wonderful experience to know God's keeping. Awesome keeping. But they had to believe. And they weren't enjoying his keeping. They weren't paying attention to how God was caring and keeping them. And they forgot. We forget. We forget. We forget how good it is to feel good. We forget. We get sick and whatever. And then we promptly, very quickly forget. We look to God maybe for help, and then it quickly passes. Now, anyway, so are we ever learning anything? No, no, they weren't learning anything as they went down the corridor of time. So now, over if I can, Psalm 105. And in Psalm 105, just to take a note in the light of that, in chapter 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye all his wondrous works. Okay, now slide over, if I can, to 105 and in verse 37. He brought them forth also. This is coming out of Egypt now, with gold, the silver. Remember, they were given everything they needed. Gold and silver. So they had riches that they never were rich, but they were given riches. People were glad to get rid of them, so whatever they asked, they were given, remember. Now, 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. So here's over 600,000 men, plus children, plus women, plus animals. And there wasn't one, the word feeble, to totter, to be shaky. Everyone that left Egypt, women, children, apart from little babies, that left, they were not feeble. Everyone, remember now, you got to walk. You say, I don't have to walk. Well, I have to walk to where? You're going to walk a long way. You're going to go up to one part of the, near the Mediterranean, you're going to come back down again to the Red Sea. Then you're going to walk across 4 miles or so of the Red Sea when it's dry, and then you're going to walk into... There wasn't one feeble person. Well, probably 2.5 million. What do you think of that? You say that's impossible. No. No. That's how they get across. And God kept them. That's awesome. You would think someone had a cripple and Hain should have had a little a push cart or something. But they didn't. They didn't do it. No. In God's wonderful, wonderful care. Now, so there wasn't one feeble person among them in God's keeping and caring. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, I'll go over, if I can, in the light of that, in the light of Psalms 105. And picking up, if I can, go to Psalm 41 to tie this together. Psalm 41. Now you got to keep in mind God's wonderful, wonderful plan. God would give the wonderful health, healing above and beyond what we could ask or think. And they were to experience that in a most wonderful way. But their heart wasn't right, and they never got a hold of it. All they knew is sin, suffering, and sorrow like the rest of the world. And they lived the same thing. Now, God, how do you handle then, if we're missing out, they were missing out of your marvelous care, and they just had rejected it by their unbelief. Now, how do we go, God, and how did we answer the people? What did you do with the people? What do you do with us? Because we're normal people in the world, and we have no idea in the sense of your awesome caring and keeping. It's beyond us. Psalm 41. This is probably David with Absalom, etc. Now, picking up Psalm 41, here's David. And may I go to verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, and will make all his bed in his sickness. Now, so God, what are you saying? Now, God, you just said you could heal and give us all the wonderful health and healing. That's true. Our great and mighty things which you know us not, inaccessible. I'm going to show them to you. But in the meantime, God, we're on planet Earth, and here we are. Here's Israel. Here we are, believers. Verse 41, verse 3. God, what are you saying? The Lord will strengthen. The Lord will strengthen. Sustain, strengthen. The Lord will strengthen, sustain him upon the bed of languishing, upon the bed, a sick bed, illness. When you're sick, God, what are you saying? God said, listen, I know you're going to get sick, all kinds of sickness. You're in the world, and you're under the bondage of your old nature and the sin problem. Verse 3, the Lord will strengthen, sustain him upon the bed of sickness, languishing. That's what God said I'll do. Now that's a sustain. I'm going to keep you. I'll take care of you in the bed. And think of people. You know people. I've known them. But dear people over the years, dear people that we had to see, not here necessarily. And in the process, we're paralyzed. Dear girl, mother, paralyzed. Could do nothing except lay still. Her body could move, but she's paralyzed. But boy, her testimony. If you wanted to be encouraged, you'd go see her. That's what you do. You'd say, I feel sorry. No, you don't feel sorry. No, sir. No, she's way ahead of us. We're like that. Now, here we are looking. And in the process, God, in the midst of the sickness, God sustained her in a most wonderful way. And God sustains us believers in a most wonderful way. When we get sick, you must all know, have known, if you haven't got sick. And if you think you're never going to get sick, wait till you get a little older, and you'll pick up some more sicknesses you thought you could never have. And you'll think, and you'll never think, your body was so strong, but boy, all you got to do is hang around in time a little longer, and you'll find out that isn't quite the case. Now, having said that, the second part, God sustains us. He's personal, his personal care. You know, it's hard to, we're in the hospitals and all that stuff, to have nurses, and one of your problems is to try to have someone watch people when they really need to be watched, and they don't have the help sometime, or they don't have the personnel to do whatever. That's very hard. Now, God, when we're all alone, you're going to sustain us. Secondly, what can I look to you, God, to do? I want the nurse to come in and help me do something. Chapter 41, verse 3. I will strengthen him, sustain him upon the bed of languishing, and I will make his bed in his sickness. The word make is change. I'm going to come in and change your sheets. I'm going to come in and turn you around, to move you around. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to get you well. I have to work through it. But I'm going to be there. No one else may be there, but I'm going to be there. That's a wonderful statement, wonderful truth. God will take care of that. Now, that's for them. We're way ahead of that. See? So we can do something and have something that they could read that and trust God for that. We're way ahead of that. Keep going. Now, having said that, in Psalm 41, skip over if I can now, in the light of all that, to 3 John. Let's do it a different way. God takes care. We're going to get sick. God takes care of the sick believer. God sustains him. God cares for them. Even when you're all alone, God's there. So, here we go in 3 John. Obviously, there must be a 1 John and a 2 John. So this is the 3 John. Now, pick up the thought again. Rounding, you want to round off your thinking. And in the process, 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. Gaius was a very close friend of Paul, whom I love in the Lord, in the truth. Beloved, I wish, present tense, I wish what, God? I wish above, and the word above is the little preposition to be concerned, to circle. In other words, you draw a circle of what you're looking at. Here's my watch up here. And I'm going to go and circle it. The word concern, to circle something, to surround it. That's the preposition. What that you're looking at, I'm going to surround it. Now, if I can, in verse 2, beloved, I wish, present tense, above, surrounding all things in your life. I look at your life, work, home, school, coming, going, up and down. I look at your whole life, and I'm surrounding. Paul said, I'm looking at all of everything about you, in coming and going, and eating and drinking, and everything you do. I'm surrounding you. And above all things, I'm surrounding your whole life, all things. And the word prosper, has to do with to circle and to prosper, to lead, to guide, to govern in a good way, to lead them, to govern them, like in Romans 8:14, the Spirit of God leads us, governs us. So here, that's a word. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. The word, I want everything in your life to keep going down the corridor of time. I want it all to work out in a good way. That's how I want it to come out. I want it to come, everything to come out good for you. Okay, now, in verse 2, and be in health. I want you to be in health. I want you to be in health. I want everything to come out good for you, and I want you to be in health. I want you to be healthy. Now, God, but we get all kinds of sickness and things in our life and us just being alive. But, verse 2, all things prosperous in to be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, and there's your word. I want your life and everything around Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, morning, noon, and night, whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, wherever you're going, I want it all to work out in a very good way. I want it to be like your heart is. Everything in your life may not be good, but your heart is. Your soul prospers. So when everything else fails, you keep your heart right. You stay healthy, wealthy, and wise in God's wonderful grace. And everything else could be the opposite. God does that in a most wonderful, wonderful way to the believing heart. Now, he makes our bed and our sickness, and he goes and takes care of us. And the word we're looking at, the word whole, prosperous, to be led in a good way, to be healthy. And the word healthy has to do with have soundness of mind, wholeness, completeness, to be healthy. And to see it a little bit so you can see it. And in the light of this context, Luke chapter 5, and in Luke chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 31. 5 and 31, you're looking at the little word health, so you see it can have it tie it together. Jesus, 31, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole, that's the word health, they that are healthy, they that are healthy, they that are whole, need not a physician. They don't need the doctor, the prescription, pharmacist. No, they don't. They that are sick do. But the healthy don't need it. Healthy don't need it. That's the word. Paul said to the Gaius, your world, the world we live in is all over the place. But keep your heart. I want your world that you're facing to enjoy the healthiness of your being in soul, your spirit. I want it to enjoy your healthy, your wholeness. So when everything else falls apart, that's whole, that's complete. And that's what God's looking for, to have that. Because we live in a world that we can't get rid of our old nature. We can't get rid of the problems. They aren't going to go away. And it's going to be what it is. And God has to help us. So now, having said that, slide over, if I can, to 2 Corinthians. God has to take care of us in this. So let's put that together. You want to keep, and remember now we've shared all these things. Remember your person. You live inside this body. This body is your home where you live. When you die, you put away this body because you don't need it anymore. The body's done. You live inside this body. The body is a marvelous 12 systems. All keep you wealthy, healthy, etc. Awesome systems, marvelous beyond understanding the design and the awesomeness of every function in your body. And your body is made for that. It's made to cover all kinds of things you face in the world. You do it. And in doing so, you live inside of it. You live inside your body, soul, spirit. That's why I remind you and myself. If you keep healthy on the inside, it helps your body cope. Your body's battling every little square inch of your body. Your eyelids full of bugs and bacteria buzzing around. Do you understand? Remember, we had filmed to see it. All over the place. Your body's fighting. It's made to fight and survive. If your body has to fight outside, and then it has to fight you because you aren't helping it, the body has to be, your body's divided. It's trying to take care of this out here and trying to take care of you that are worrying, wanting, and everything else, frustrated, discouraged, depressed. And what are you doing? The body is like this, and you're putting a body under very high stress. And remember, we did all these things, Mayo Clinic and all of them, John Hopkins. And back then, 85, 90, whatever, use 85% of all illness is caused by your mind. Your physical illness is caused by your mind. So, what are you saying in 3 John? May your world that you live in your physical body, be enjoying you inside that are staying healthy. So that I want to aid my body. Be healthy on the inside, spiritually, in God's grace, in God's wonderful keeping. So you're healthy on the inside, so that you're helping your body to heal, to function. And you aren't hurting it. You understand that? Now, 2 Corinthians, so you can see it, at least a little. God's going to show him great and mighty things. We can't get to it here, but God's going to show him, saying, you have no idea what my health is going to be like when I give you, when you're with me, and yes, you should be. I'm going to take care of you, and you have no idea how healthy life is. L-I-F-E, that's God's life. And God's life is very healthy. He is holy, it is holy, healthy, and happy. God's wonderful life. And he said, you have no idea what it is to enjoy my life and my health. I gave it to you. That's how you get saved, eternal life in my Son. But you aren't connected to enjoy it. I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you could never dream of. Until I do, you won't know them. You're going to be in this body. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause, we faint not, but though our outward man, outward external man, eyes, ears, nose, throat, outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's what 3 John verse 2. Keep your inside healthy. Your outside's all over the place. That's where you live. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God, we need to be looking to you. And not whether we have the medicine, whether I have the right pill, whether I do the right thing. I don't know, God. I need to be trusting you in the midst of all of this so that my body get the benefits of my, I live inside of this, and I want to honor this body which you have bought with a price, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm not my own. We're not our own. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if I can, over to, well, we got to quit. Oh, jump, big jump, big jump, over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, you remember, we did all of these things 1,000 times, it seems. And each time, and just so you don't get discouraged, eventually, if you have any interest in truly growing and learning, if you aren't just sitting here, if you're really trying to grow, you're going to be real sharp with truth. That's what you're going to be. And you're going to be appropriating what God does. And you'll have the benefits. Instead of, I read that, what I done, and I don't know what it means. I can't connect it. I want to connect it. You have to learn. So we get banging away. So here we are looking in Hebrews 4. And in the light of that, God, what do we look at? Well, we looked at the rest of God, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, etc. God blessed the seventh day and he rested. Remember that? Now, what did that mean, he rested from all his works? And then you go through the Bible. What did he rest from? He had finished everything, the end of chapter 1, and it was very good what he did. Now it has to all work out. And that's what we're talking about, the outworking of it in a most wonderful, wonderful way as it outworks itself. And God, what are we doing? We're learning to, Hebrews chapter 4, and picking up, please, in chapter 4 and verse down to verse 10. For a reason, he that is entered into his, that's God's rest, he also hath ceased, stopped, period, from his own works, as God did from his. God rested on the seventh day. What are you telling us, God? I want you to rest from your works. Like I stopped on the seventh day and rested from my works, I want you to stop your works and get my rest. Stop your works and rest in my rest. I have finished everything perfectly, and I want you to rest in my health and my wealth and my wisdom. I want you to rest in who I am, not who you are. You rest in who I am, my rest. I want you to enjoy my rest, my health. You are very unhealthy, but I'm very healthy. And as you look to me, I bring you in Christ by way of the cross. I bring you my health and my wealth for your heart. Now, what more could you ask for? So I rest in what? In God's health. My body's falling apart and it's all shrinking. But I'm not going to have this body. What do you know from 1 Corinthians 15? Flesh and blood can what? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, God, I'm not trusting it. God said, I want you to rest in my health. And you could be as sick as a very, 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 very sick. But in me, you're very, 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 very healthy. And I want you to rest in being very, very healthy. So you can work through being very, very sick. That come out all right for you? You're going to rest in who I am. I'm very, very, very healthy. So that you can handle being very, very, very sick. Can you practice that? That's what he's saying. I have great and mighty things that you have no idea, said God. You're going to have to wait till I have it worked out. You just don't know, but you will.